Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody! Recruiting Animal here on February 19th, 2014. Last week. You know what? I was going to ask you if I'm too loud because I'm using my handset today, but I can't see what you say anyway. I'm just going to go into my talk. Last week, there were three separate conversations online about social recruiting. And the question was, does it exist? The social recruiting that everybody always talks about, does it really exist? And the answer was no! A big loud no! And there's plenty. There's plenty of online recruiting. There's plenty of online recruiting. Read my lips. No one disputes that. But online recruiting and social recruiting are two different things. Online recruiting is using the internet in the recruiting process. Posting a job on a job board, that's online recruiting. Searching the resumes in a resume bank on a job board, that's online recruiting. And contacting the people you find there, online recruiting. There's a lot of employment branding online as well. Microsoft, we discovered just this past summer, due to our guest, Brandemix, Microsoft has a Pinterest account. But that's not recruiting. So what's social recruiting? Well, it's what we used to call Web 2.0. That sounds ancient now, but once it was hip. Believe me, in the early days of, let me explain, in the early days of the internet culture, whatever you want to call it, was called Web 1.0. You had websites, but there was no communication between the reader and the writer. Then blogs suddenly became popular, and you could chat with the writer through the comment section, right? So in 2004, Microsoft set up its Jobs blog. The idea was they had two nice girls there, Gretchen and Zoe. We called them the Moon Girls, and they would be the face of Microsoft and chat with all commenters, all the people who wanted to talk to them about Microsoft. And the idea was those commenters would become candidates for their company. It was very popular, though I don't know how many good candidates actually came in from the blog, but the point I'm trying to make is that those two girls on the blog were talking to people every day and the same people over time. That really is social recruiting. And social recruiting is short for social media recruiting. That's what that was. Searching a database on LinkedIn, that's not social recruiting any more than searching a database on Career Builder is social recruiting. Social media recruiting, listen, involves human interaction. You set up a Twitter account and engage a bunch of people in your industry, and they become your talent pool. That's social recruiting, but you know what? Nobody's doing that. No one's doing that. And the Microsoft Jobs blog, I never saw another blog like that. You know, I ask people here every week, how many people did you recruit on Twitter last year? And what's the answer? You know, one or two, and usually none. That's the answer. What does that mean? There is no social recruiting. There is no social recruiting. But I'll tell you, what is social? There's a certain radio show about recruiting, and Jerry, what show is that?
The Recruiting Animal.
Thank you, Jerry.
You are very welcome, Animal. Very welcome indeed.
Let's send out a big greeting to all our friends at SourceCon in Atlanta. Hey, everybody!
Hey, SourceCon.
Yeah.
One of my favorite events that I've never been to.
Lots of people are going for the first time. I saw Mary Hogan said this is her first SourceCon.
Really?
I thought she'd been to everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Mary Hogan, have a
Bill
Borman's
down there. You know, Bill Borman.
Bill, I didn't see Bill. I didn't see Bill mentioned yet at all. That's too bad.
Ooh. Well, because it's not his thing. It's somebody else's. So he's just kind of in the back. I can't picture Bill Borman being in the
Bill
back.
Bill Borman is never in the back.
No.
Bill Borman's the man.
He'll grab the mic.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hope so. Okay. Should we bring on the guest?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Who do we have?
The guest today has a very special name. His name is Jackie Chan Jr. He's a junior recruiter who's job hunting for a recruiting position. So we're going to kind of handle this like, you know, we're interviewing the guy to see if, you know, anybody here might hire him. He's from Los Angeles. So I'll mention that. Jackie Chan Jr., are you there?
Good morning.
Hey. You're trying to imitate me, right? To relate to me, to establish a rapport? Is that what you're doing? Is that
mirroring? Mm-hmm.
Mirroring me?
Sure.
Okay.
The Animal Recruiting Show!
Yay! You don't compare with Jerry. You have to
trained professional here.
Okay. Trained. Jackie Chan, as I said, lives in Los Angeles. He's looking for a job as a recruiter. He told me, quote, "This is what I want to do. I find fulfillment in putting people to work." And here's his background. I'll run through it. I find fulfillment in putting people to work. Resume Strategy's listening today. Hey, Resume Strategy, should he put that, like, motto at the top of his resume? I find fulfillment in putting the people to work? Or should he say, I find fulfillment in making money, making placements, getting commission?
Yeah.
Okay? So here's what
I'm not liking that from the very beginning. Okay? This isn't social work, and our job is not putting people to work. Okay?
Finding people.
We're not,
for company.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but you know, Jerry.
It's exactly the opposite of what we actually
do. There's reality and there's the
image.
We don't
put people to work. I have 1,000 people in my desk that would love for me to put them to work. That's not my job. I don't get paid to do that.
Right. But if I'm looking for a corporate recruiter role, where I'm actually going to be inside a company, then to me, I feel that I am building the company because I'm actually bringing the people in to work at this company. That all of us can achieve something greater than what any of us could do on our own.
That's the kind of stuff they want to hear. To me and Jerry, it sounds like trash.
A bit grandiose.
That's the stuff
they want
to hear. Jerry, you got to realize there's the reality and there's the puffery. And people in the public, they like to hear the puffery. That's what they want.
All right.
You know, I'm a good person.
About, like,
I'm bringing people to work.
Puffery.
I'm building the company. Would you have something to say, Jackie?
I like to fantasize that myself. It's how I gamify. It's how it keeps me motivated because I feel that I'm putting people to work. It's what gives me fulfillment at the end of the day. That's what
Daryl Disco. Daryl Disco's already exposed something here. No, Jackie Chan Jr. is not his real name. Here's the thing. The guy's looking for a job. I don't know how he's going to show himself on the show today. You know, if it comes down to the after show and they're saying, I'd never hire this guy. He's a jerk, idiot, garbage. I don't want people coming. Not that anybody would hear the show, but I don't want any recruiters coming around later on saying, hey, I'm not going to hire this guy. Everybody, Jerry hates him. Disco hates him. Amy hates him.
I don't hate anybody.
Okay?
Hate is a strong word. I try not to use it often.
So if you like him, I'll give you
I'm reserving judgment. He had me a corporate recruiter for a minute, but then his definition of what a corporate recruiter should think or feel is not me, so I'm just going to listen.
Okay, you know what? You're not alone in that because the Resume Strategy also says, I find fulfillment putting people to work. Nobody cares. Doesn't belong on a resume. Are you good? Prove it. That's what goes on a resume, okay? But you know what, everybody? I think if he went into interview and he said, you know, I enjoy helping people get work, I think people like to hear that. That's my personal opinion.
People in the government-run worker training programs – He's certainly a candidate for working down at the state office, helping all the people on welfare get retrained and put them back to work, even though none of them go back to work. But it's all this big fantasy bubble that is costing us hundreds of billions of dollars.
You have to talk over to Amy. You've got to talk over to Amy.
Office for 2 years, that's exactly their concept.
Okay.
And
yeah,
they're
putting people to work, solving world hunger. I mean, all that stuff. Save the whales, man.
I've worked career services at a for-profit college before, and I have dealt with entitled students who came to me and felt like, Garrett, give me a job. That's your job. Give me a job. And I've kind of felt that it's my job to teach you how to find a job. It's my job to help you find a job. For some of our, let's say, recent graduates, then I would help them get interviews because, yes, then I would go out and I would pound pavement. I'd build relationships with different employers, different recruiting hiring managers, and try to get them internships or at least interviews. Hey, I've got this student. I've got this candidate. He's great for your internship program, something like that. But then you had a student who would miss an interview and come to you and say, oh, Garrick, sorry, I missed the interview this morning. And I would feel that, like, is everything okay? You know, you want to make sure that everything's okay with this person, with the student. And then they'd tell you that.
And then they'd tell you about their life problems, and then you'd get sucked into it, and you'd say, well, his car wasn't running. And next thing you know, you're trying to get him another interview and help him get a ride to the interview.
No, you're on the wrong side
of the fence.
You know, I can't believe that anybody would miss an interview, but let me just give the guy's background, Jack's background, and
yes.
So then we'll know what we're all talking about.
We're ready.
December 2006 to April 2008, he was a recruiter with Tech Systems.
Hmm.
And what kind of people were you recruiting there, Jackie?
Anywhere from business analysts and application developers all the way down to infrastructure, Linux systems engineers, help DOS desktop.
Talk a little louder, please. I know he's on a landline. He went to his parents' place to get a landline, okay? Just
from
talk
application
louder.
Development to
so it was IT jobs, right?
IT.
Okay.
Technical
and
staff.
And you were also a recruiter from January to October of 2013. So most of last year, you call yourself a technical recruiter. You were at a boutique staffing firm specializing in finance, accounting, and IT. And from July 2008, I'm going back to Sandwich, in the middle, you were the student employment advisor at a community college with 1,300 students. And that's what you were talking about a few minutes ago. But I want to talk about something I found on your LinkedIn profile. You say about this last job as a technical recruiter, here's what you say. I was hired to manage the social media marketing and digital outreach at this company. After the first month, my responsibilities began to focus on technical recruiting. It was a great learning experience for me, but it's difficult to work with your friends, so I had to leave when personal and professional boundaries were getting crossed.
That's the story.
I would not put that on my LinkedIn profile.
Late nights in the office. Tell us about it. What happened? What went down? How did it go so wrong?
Okay, tell us.
So basically what happened was there was a account manager that I worked with at Tech Systems. We had worked together well. We had made placements together. After I left, we had kind of lost contact. I left my former role as a community manager, as a senior community manager with a social CRM startup. And she came to me and said,
"Don't drag it out. You're putting us to sleep. Just how did you happen to fight with this guy? You're starting. I don't want your history from kindergarten. You were working for this friend who you used to work with before, and somehow you couldn't get along anymore. Is that what happened?"
More or less.
Okay, because people are going to say, why did you leave? You're going to have to tell us the story. I'm going to tell you. So
do you want the real story, or do you want the story that I would tell in an interview?
The real story.
The real story was she wasn't paying me.
Oh, it wasn't paying me.
I made two placements.
And why wouldn't you say that in an interview?
So you got ripped off on three placements?
Two.
What were you supposed to be paid? Half?
That's what the agreement was in the beginning.
Why wouldn't you tell that story in an interview? Why wouldn't you tell that story in an interview? First of all, resume strategy, should he have this story on his LinkedIn profile? I don't think
probably
so. It was
not
a great learning experience, but I couldn't get along
probably
with my
not.
Friends. No way. Take it
no,
off.
No, he should say I was ripped off.
No, that's in an interview. He should say, look, he didn't pay me, and I had to leave after I didn't get paid twice, I had to leave. Nobody's going to ask any questions. They might say, why didn't he pay you? Why didn't he pay you?
The money was reinvested in the company.
Oh, yeah, reinvested, paying somebody's credit cards off and Mercedes payment.
Yeah, you take that off your LinkedIn profile about working with friends, and if someone says why you left, say, look, he couldn't pay me. I don't know where his finances were going, but he couldn't pay me after it happened twice. I had to leave. That's pretty straightforward. Anybody disagree with me? No? Okay. Anybody have something to say? There's lots of people here. Anybody have something to say?
No, I think you're right, Animal. That's a non-emotional thing, is I left because I didn't get paid. The company didn't hold up their end of the bargain, and I did. That's it. It's not friendship. It's not I don't like the person. It's none of this emotional crap. It's just the fact.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, because they really weren't even your friend.
Yeah.
You know what? A friend wouldn't screw over like that.
Yeah. I looked up a bunch of questions online for hiring recruiters, and this guy, Jay Nair, on recruiting blogs, he had a bunch of good ones. If one song describes your life, what would it be? Do you know? Jackie?
If one song describes my life? Oh, I could say right now or what?
You know
or
what?
In general?
Does anyone ever ask you that question? Tell them to buzz off. That's a stupid question. Here's
what
another one Jay Nair had. Would you rather fight with a giant or five midgets? This is on recruiting blogs. It's on recruiting blogs.
Are you even allowed to say midget?
I don't think
anymore?
So. Little people. Little
yeah.
people. Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he also says... Okay, well, Amy there. I'll ask Amy. She's a, I don't know, you don't hire people, do you? But what would you ask him first if you were going to interview him for a job on your team, Amy?
If I was going to interview him for my team?
Yeah, or any team, as a recruiter.
What are your metrics?
Okay.
What are your metrics? What are you measuring yourself on? How do you know you've had a successful day, week, month, year?
What are metrics? Okay, well, the metrics that I need to make 20 calls a day. I need to talk to at least 20 people a day if I'm looking for a role. Hopefully, ideally more.
No, not for your job hunting as a recruiter.
Placements? How many placements am I making?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, as a recruiter, because knowing that this is a self-directed role, nobody's going to hold your hand. I'm not going to give you a script. How are you going to come back to me in 6 months and say, I was successful because I did what?
I would talk to you and we'd put a plan together to see how many calls do I want me making, how many candidates do I want me talking to on a daily basis, and on top of that, how many placements am I making, how many people am I bringing in for an interview, how many candidates am I able to place to you, and then how many candidates am I able to close and fill positions.
Did you do that in the past?
We did a bit at Tech Systems, but not with the last role. And so that's why I'm really getting back
into it. And you didn't do that for yourself either. Okay, that's okay. Just say, look. You know, I've had a little exposure to it, but I didn't do it on a regular. I haven't done it on a regular basis, but I'm open to it. I think it's a good idea, and I will develop it. Jerry, if someone told you that he'd never kept any metrics for 2 years in recruiting, what would you say? What would you think?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, you can't blame him if his managers didn't set that up for him. He's new to recruiting, so how did he even know that there were numbers to keep track of? Not his fault.
I had metrics of, I guess, how many calls I was making.
Can you talk louder? You know, you want to come out on the recording. Just shout a bit, okay?
So the metrics I had were how many calls I'm making per day,
yeah.
how many candidates I'm talking to,
yeah.
How many people responding to me, and then how many placements, how many interviews I'm setting a week, and then how many placements I'm making.
Yeah, what were those numbers like when you were at Tech Systems?
So the calls is that we had to make at least 20 calls a day, talk to 20 people, not just leave 20 messages, but actually talk to 20 live
mm-hmm.
people minimum. Try to push for more. And then set 3 to 5 interviews, either a lunch or coffee appointment per week. On top of that, 5 people in person just into the office. I don't remember what the metrics were and how many placements.
Was it hard to get people to come into your office because they knew that Tech Systems people just had – to get 5 people to show up in their office every week? Did you ever hear?
They didn't know that?
They didn't always know that because a lot of times, I mean, the people that you're bringing in were new people who were not in the database.
Where'd you find them? How'd you find them?
At that time, all the regular places, Monster, Monster, Dice, Hot Jobs.
Okay.
I tried looking at Craigslist a little bit. Indeed was not around yet at that time. Boolean searches on Google.
Okay. So you had some reasonable experience there. It just you didn't continue that path then, right?
That's another question. Your passion for recruiting, isn't it suspect because you didn't stick with it? Here's what Julie Labrie says. I found an article called Questions to Ask Before Hiring a Recruiter by a woman named Erin Osterhaus, and she quotes some famous people. Julie Labrie, who runs a recruiting company. She says she wants to find out, the first thing she wants to find out is not metrics. She wants to find out if they're passionate about what they do and if they really care. So, and she says that's going to be indicative if they're going to really dig for a person. So how would you prove that you're passionate? Or, you know, would you try to prove that you're passionate? I wouldn't.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm passionate in that when most recruiters would sit on the call and they'd make their calls, you'd get in the office about 8:30, and then you leave about 5:30, 6 p.m. For me, I've always been involved with extracurricular activities through college or through high school. After school, people would go join sports or drama or the band or whatever, right? Well, when you get into the working world, there's not much else there out there for you. And so I learned about user groups. And so I would go to the Java users group or the Linux users group or .NET. Last night I went to a Django meeting. And so I go to these places, and at the first point, when I first started going, I didn't get too many candidates because people don't know who you are, and recruiters usually just kind of pop in, announce their jobs, and then they leave, and they're not really around for long. But having stayed in the industry, having stayed in the scene, I guess I just kind of like these people. I kind of still hang out. I still go to these events. And so I've built those relationships. I've built that network. I mean, I used to go to 3 to 4 networking events after work or just on a normal week. Since I've gotten married, it's maybe 1 or 2 every 2 to 3 weeks. But I'm willing to go push out, and I'm willing to do more. That's what I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about technology. I like it. I'm in the space. I'm in the industry. I'm here in Los Angeles. Many people know me. I'm volunteering with Scale this weekend, the Southern California Linux Expo.
That's a good answer. I'm impressed.
Yeah. I write for TechZulu. I write for a tech article online, a tech magazine.
Where are you working now? Did I miss that?
Working now. I'm looking for a full-time recruiting role job.
Okay. And is there a reason that you can't just start your own agency, Jackie? Chan,
so I'm not
junior.
Too sure about bill rates and account management and getting the contract.
Okay. There's plenty of resources out there to help you.
That's something that I'd be interested in learning. It's something I'd be interested in going back to an agency and learning.
Mm-hmm. So the customer development side then, you're good at the recruiting side, just getting
I don't know
out.
The customer development side. I mean, let's put it this way. Because I was always going out to the meetings and all the events, a lot of times, because I was pounding pavement, I would meet the CTO or the hiring manager or the other recruiter. But because of the way that things were structured, I would bring it back and I'd have to send it over to an account manager. The account manager would then take the client and get all the credit.
Yeah.
And for that, I would get, great, Jackie, you get first crack at that rec.
Oh.
You know, it's a big deal. I would have gotten first crack at that rec anyway. Why? Because I built that relationship.
You didn't even need the account manager.
Exactly.
Kind of a pyramid scheme based on seniority.
Well, or the way the structure was. It wasn't even seniority.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and usually the account managers are the hotties. I mean, let's face it. Okay,
We've seen them on LinkedIn, dude.
We know what's going on.
The recruiters are that way, too. Some of the recruiters
Pete
are that way,
too. Totally an account manager.
Yeah, you know, Karen Seawack, the resume strategy is right.
Reed,
he did
me.
Social recruiting, but not social media recruiting, okay? He was very
social. So is this social recruiting now? I mean, if I am getting to know each of you through
social,
social web.
Not social media. It's not so. No, you're not getting to know us to recruit us. Okay, let me move on. Jennifer McClure was another person the famous Jennifer McClure was discussed in this article, and she said, first off, find how they find people. Jerry asked you that already. Once they find the people, how do they build rapport, and how do they sell them on an opportunity?
Hey, Animal, real quick, can I remind the entire world? Very few people knew J.J. McClure until she was a guest on this show. Since then, she's now a global. She's a hit. She's huge.
Phenomenon. She's a phenomenon. I don't agree with that, Jerry.
I know. I keep track of all this stuff.
Uh-huh,
that's what you pay me to do, man. And I'm just bringing that up.
Okay,
J.J. McClure
great.
Would be nothing if it wasn't for this show.
Yeah,
2.5 years ago.
Happy to hear you say that, but that's another story. So,
okay.
You know what? Is there a special way to build rapport? I don't know. You know, one guy I read here, I'll give an example. Somebody said this other guy, Vlastek, his name is. I think I saw an article on ERE by him. He said you know, he'll call people up and say, you know, I was reading this, you know, to introduce himself, and I was reading an article about XXX that you, you know, wrote about, and so it indicates that you know a lot about this topic, and I want to speak to you about a related position. I've never done that. Is that something you do? How do you build rapport? I just call up and say, this is who I am. Can I talk to you about a position? I can't remember what Jerry does. I don't know what Amy does. We'll find out in a minute. I want to know what you do.
Yeah, I just call them up and ask them how you're doing, and I let them know that I'm a recruiter and I'm looking for an opportunity here for this position. Do they have a couple minutes to talk? And then you say,
no, you're not looking for opportunities. You have opportunities, right? We're not talking about job hunting. We're talking about how you build rapport with candidates when you cold call them.
Should we do a role play?
No,
Amy.
First time the guest suggested. I love it.
He's asking for it now.
Go ahead. You're recruiting Amy.
Hi, good morning. Amy?
Yes?
Hi. Is this a good time for you to talk?
No, not really.
Okay, when can I call you back? When's a good time that I might call you? My name is...
You know, I'm really busy. Can I help you with something? Like, what do you need?
Yes, I'm a recruiter. I am looking for a senior
assistant
engineer.
Oh, okay, yeah, no, I'll just stop there. I'm actually really happy in my current position, but thanks for calling.
Okay, would you ever be open to hearing about other positions in the future? Is it possible that I might connect with you? You're completely happy at your job. You're never going to look for other jobs. Okay.
I'd tell her to shove it.
Well, thank you for your time. Well, thank you for your time.
Good luck.
Well, thank you for your time.
Good luck with all your cats.
Okay, so let me do it again.
What if you said, Amy, I was looking at your LinkedIn profile. I know you're very strong in a certain area, and I'd like to have a chat with you about that. If not for, you know, an immediate move, you know, perhaps we'll, you know, do some work together in the future. Would that have made a difference, Amy?
Amy, I read your awesome blog post on this particular technology. I want to talk to you more about that.
Well, not everybody
is
blogging.
There's a thousand ways you can get in with somebody, and asking if they have time is not one of them.
I would probably have said, I mean, like, if you didn't have time, I would have waited maybe a day or two and then tried to call you again.
But there's nothing compelling in that makes me want to talk to you.
But there's not that much we know about people necessarily before we call them. That's, you know, people sometimes say to you, oh, look, you should research me before you call me. Well, you know what? Now there's LinkedIn. But it's not always true. You can find out.
Here's what I would do.
Much time.
Here's what I would do. Hey, I'm going to be really – I'll probably be the most honest recruiter you've ever met. You are on a long list of people that have your title that I want to talk to. If you've got a few minutes, let's talk. Let's see if we've got something in common. If not, it's cool. I understand. That actually has worked a few times. They know what we're doing. They know that they're one of 100 people we're dialing today. Just say it, man. Don't be all, oh, hey, I found your profile and you're so awesome and smart. Screw that. They hear that 100 times a day. Do something different, even if it's a little cheeky.
There's a lot of people on the line. Anybody agree with Amy's tough girl approach like that? I'm curious. There's a lot of people here. Anybody want to comment? Or are you saving it for Jerry? You're going to say in an hour, half an hour from now, you'll say, oh, geez, that was wild.
It's a more comfortable setting.
Okay? Most candidates are like Amy. Like, most people I talk to have not been like that. Like, you know, I don't think anyone I've ever talked to has straight shut me out. Nothing.
Yeah, then you haven't made any calls. You're exposed.
No, man,
okay?
The few people are busy, but they don't, like, usually just shut you off straight off. Like, you know, usually I could get them a little bit later on, or we can talk, like, we can have a minute or two chat.
I was probably a little harsh. I haven't had as much coffee today as normal, so.
I agree
with Amy's approach.
Who's that?
This is Chad.
Chad Belby, the great Chad Belby.
CFB recruiter.
Yeah,
there you go.
Hey,
thanks for the shout-out.
You would do that?
I agree with Amy. I mean, we're in a transparent society where people know why you're calling them, and people realize that you're going to give them the same song and dance. You don't know this person from Adam outside of, you know, what you might have seen on social media. So I completely agree that you just have to be transparent from the beginning and let them know, look, I just want to be real with you. I want to talk to you and take a couple of minutes of your time to both benefit yourself and me as well.
And this is for Mamie's greatest dance partner so far, okay? So, okay, fine. At least thanks for your opinion, Chad. Anything else you'd like to add?
You know,
Anything else?
Blake agrees with me, too. Blake Cannon is on my side.
Is Blake on Twitter saying it, or is he here?
He's on Twitter.
Well, I just saw it on Twitter. Hi, Blake.
Oh,
he's obviously here somehow.
Yeah, she likes him because he agrees with her. Okay, what about company culture? LaBrie says it's important to understand the style of the hiring manager. Well, you don't pick up job orders, really. That's not your forte, so you never have really had a lot of exposure to that. Am I right?
What do you mean? I mean, explain. I mean, like, I do talk to hiring managers, and, like, a lot of times when I had...
No.
So...
To pick up a job order. Okay, talk to hiring managers, and what about? Go ahead. What do you talk to them about?
To further qualify the rec, I mean, to understand exactly what they're looking for.
Do you understand the company? Is company culture a big deal for you? Do you try to figure it out? Because these girls who were interviewed for the article, they're all for it. They, you know, find out about the company culture. Do you find out about the company culture and the hiring manager style?
You can, but that's kind of just like your opinion. I mean, the company culture is really just your opinion of what you think it is.
So you don't talk to them.
Culture?
You don't ask them about the company culture. Am I right? You think it's just a fiction that it's not worth
you
even talking about. Is
them,
that right?
But when you ask them, they're going to give you the same kind of mumbo-jumbo marketing stuff that I gave you in the beginning of the call. You know,
yeah, man, I'm with you, Jackie. I'm with you.
I mean,
and that's really all that matters because
I
know
until you actually go there and see yourself and you talk to other people who are actually working there, you don't really know what the company culture is. And what you think the company culture is can be completely different than what the candidate will actually perceive it when they're actually sitting in the job.
Okay, you know, I read a very interesting article.
Right.
I think a few of you saw it over on Recruiters Online. And this guy, John Loyeza, he's the president of a company called Lucid Label, a young guy. And if he's hiring a salesperson, he says he deliberately misses a scheduled telephone call to see what the candidate does. He says, I email him and use an incorrect name to see how he responds. I reject him to see how he responds to rejection. My goal is to find out if the salesperson is truly tenacious and willing to close the deal. Does that sound reasonable to you, Jackie? How would you react?
To test somebody like this? Or how would I? So I'd like to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. And so you trust, but you verify. Say, oh, sorry, by the way, my name is so-and-so such-and-such. It's actually spelled this way. Oh, hey, we had a call at this time. Are you available? Is everything okay? And something happened? Or can we reschedule? And then you just call again. Right? You assume that you don't assume anything bad. I mean, you just assume everything is fine, and you continue going.
I got bounced. Am I back?
Hi.
You're back.
Am I on the show?
You're back.
I got bounced, but I disappeared. Okay, well, what if someone was treating you like that, giving you a hard time? I mean, you know, didn't keep appointments, called you, spelled your name properly, forgot your name deliberately, and, you know, said, I'm not sure I like you. How would you respond to that? Do you think that's a good approach?
I don't know why this person is doing anything. I would just clarify. I would just, oh, so actually my name is this, and we had the phone call at this time, correct? Is everything okay? Can we reschedule?
Mm-hmm.
And just keep going from there. Just keep moving forward.
Okay. Okay, anybody got a question
for
Jackie?
Try not to be too self-conscious, try not to be too insecure about it, and just move forward. Just go forward and push forward, yeah.
Anybody got to see some negatives? Chad Balbi, since you're here and you're not usually on, can I ask you a few questions?
Yeah, of course.
Maybe you're still there. What do you think of Jackie so far? Would you hire the guy, or what do you think the negatives are?
I think the only negatives are I feel like you're a little too timid, maybe. It seems like...
Too what?
There's some... Too timid.
Timid.
I guess I get that feeling from you. Just, you know, and everyone. I don't know you from Adam, obviously, but it seems like your personality.
You heard him talking for a half an hour. I mean, you interview someone for the same amount of time and decide whether you're going to pass them on.
You
got to
remember
that
all these people in Philly are ready to just kick somebody's ass anytime.
Now, Chad Balbi.
You're all the way on the left coast here with this call.
He's got a bit of a soft voice, but he sounds pretty tenacious to me. He doesn't sound timid. He's got a soft voice.
A pure recruiter role, yes. I think, you know, the fact that he's engaged in his community, the fact that he writes, I think that's really important just because it shows that you're not just going through the motions. But, you know, and you're not necessarily interviewing for, you know, an account management or a client engagement position, but if that was a piece of the role, I don't know if that would be a great fit for you.
Really? Why is that? Come on. I want to hear a professional recruiter's opinion after a half-hour interview. Come on. Tell us. And he'll teach him something.
No, I agree. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, I mean, I've actually only been on for about 15 minutes, so I can't say I've been doing
it. Oh, what a cop-out.
My concern, Animal, he hasn't recruited in 6 years. So we're in a whole different world of where...
He was recruiting last year. That happened last year at that company.
Oh,
where
he got ripped off? Okay, so
he's
recruited for 8 months in the past 6 years. Eight years, whatever.
Right.
Okay.
I'm just saying, a lot of things have changed. Candidates are hiding in different places. They're a lot more... they're just getting pounded more than they were back then, even, in every little spot that they think that they can hide.
I'm in the community. I'm in the, at least in the tech community, in the infrastructure community. I'm there at all the meetings. I'm meeting people who are at different companies, and I'm meeting their coworkers and their friends. I'm meeting people who are not necessarily online.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm meeting people on ground, and so I'm not sure where else. I mean, like there are different meetup groups.
He's got some punch in him. He's got the Jackie Chan punch.
Yeah, I like this guy. So Jackie, where are you located?
I'm in Los Angeles. I'm in West L.A.
Okay, there's got to be 1,000 agencies in L.A., right?
There's 1,000 agencies. I've been interviewing with some of them. I'm also with a few corporate roles.
Do you want to be corporate or you want to be an agency guy? You need to decide.
I would like to be corporate. Ideally, I'd like to be corporate. Other people have told me that, well, you should have your paycheck tied to your ability. That's great, too. But like I told you before, I want to build a community. I want to be able to see the community and see how this person fits here or to really be able to truly build that community.
You mean the company or community?
Build the company. The company. Build the company.
Okay, you said community.
By creating the community of people inside the company.
Okay, the culture.
The culture. Well,
which is bullshit.
Okay. Anyway, Daryl Disco gives the guy, he says Jackie's got a good attitude. He says, agency should hire him. I would hire him, too. And and you know what? I agree with Chad Balbi. His voice is faint. I mean, I'm always surprised when he comes back and, you know, rebuts our criticisms because, as Chad said, you know, you sound a bit, your voice doesn't sound bull. But you know what? I think you got some backbone. Blake Cannon, are there any questions that we're not asking? Or Carla Porter's on the line, too. Lots of our old buddies. Are there any questions that we're not asking them that we should? Like, how do you prep a candidate for an interview? Or do you prep a candidate for an interview? Or, you know, the candidates that you, you know, work with, do they need to be told how to dress and not to pick their noses and stuff like that? Or
absolutely,
can you just assume that they're...
every single time, I don't care how professional you think you are, I'm going through that every single time with every single candidate. We hopefully have gone through part of it through the interview that I can trust you, but I have a checklist and you go through and you run through and you make sure that everybody knows what they're doing, crossing their T's and dotting their I's.
And what are the specifics on the checklist? What are the specifics on the checklist?
Okay, then you call to make sure that they know the company, make sure that they know who they're interviewing with, make sure that they know the company and the job that they're interviewing for. Make sure that they're actually going to the interview. I've had people call me up 9 o'clock in the morning and then for 1 o'clock interview and they confirm, and then at 10 o'clock they call me back to say that they've accepted a job elsewhere. So you go through all those things, you make sure that they are dressed appropriately. I don't know, you
what's appropriate dress in your business? What's appropriate? Suit?
Suit or shirt and tie, or at least dress shirt and dress slacks for most roles that they're going into for most companies that I would send them into, and I try to, if I can't meet them in person, at least do a Skype call so I can take a look and see who they are.
Meet them in person, how often do you meet people who really, you know, need to be met in person? I mean, you know, people who don't know how to dress or, you know, they'll try to clip
just
their
the
toenails
really
at a desk while you're talking. What?
Really just the first time, and really just the first time, and really no more than 15 minutes or so.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you've met a lot of people. How many of them don't know how to present themselves and you have to see them in order to screen them out? Or can we assume that you've discovered already most people who've been working for a while know enough,
properly? But it's still good to say to go through it. Because even though most people know, some people haven't been looking for work for a while, and so they forget those little interview things. You know, they forget the time and all things, and so I have other interview prep sheets. They're all ready that make
okay,
sure that
no,
these are the
now let me move on. No.
Let's pick up the pace.
Let's pick up the pace. Stephen Nahez was here a few weeks ago. I suspect you listened to the interview. He's the king of the four-minute interview. How long does it take you to interview someone? You said only 15 minutes?
I would say on the phone first, half an hour, 45 minutes first on the phone initially, and then in person it can go 15 minutes to half an hour, 45 minutes.
Don't you feel bad about dragging someone, you know, from maybe 45 minutes or an hour away
so if somebody
for a
15-minute
meeting?
So if somebody comes to meet me in person, then we'll do a good half-hour coffee, half-hour to 45-minute coffee. If it's a lunch, then it usually goes about an hour to hour and a half lunch to where
uh-huh.
after getting to know the person. And those are usually reserved for candidates who are more seniority, that are higher-level candidates, people that need to be caressed and massaged and finessed. The other ones, the ones that are quick, that are not that easy, I mean, just a quick 15-minute Skype. So I'm not making them drive anywhere. I'm making them get in front of a webcam for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so
can you get in front of
a
webcam for 15 minutes?
Oh, you interview people on the webcam, too. Oh,
yes.
I see.
Skype
okay.
call. I mean, that's what I mean by a Skype call, because I need to see you to make sure that everything is looking okay, that you're going to be presentable to the candidate, or sorry, to the client. But that's really what I need the 15 minutes for. I mean, you could say 5 minutes. I just need to make sure that you are, yeah, that you are who you are.
Yeah,
you
we got the message. We got the message. Am I missing anything, people? Let me take a look on Twitter. I would be insulted if someone told me how to dress for an interview and about etiquette, says Carla Porter. Oh, who's making noise? Come on. Who's doing that?
Sounds like Amy Alla.
What number is she?
I don't know.
Okay, so Carla Porter says
sounds
she'd
like
be
it was,
insulted.
Huh?
Yeah. Carla Porter says
I don't know
be
if you'd be insulted, because it's just a checklist that I would go through to make sure that everything is fine. I mean, it's not anything. It's just more that I would, again, talk to you about the culture.
Yeah, okay,
well,
don't over-talk, okay?
Okay, sorry.
Okay.
I've got an update from Twitter.
Yeah.
Blake Cannon, though he's in a meeting, he's listening to the show on earbuds. And he says that this is a good guest and that he would hire him.
Thank Very
you.
Good.
Thank
now, Blake's
you.
A tough cookie. Blake is
oh,
a tough cookie.
You ain't kidding.
He's a Marine.
Hell yeah.
Okay? Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Okay. What does Chad Balbi say? If he's surprised his candidates are taking another job and canceling on him, he's not asking the right questions. I don't agree. Chad, are you still with us?
I am.
Well, tell us what justify that. If someone surprises you that they take another job, why would they? How would you know that? Like beforehand?
Well, I'm just
saying.
So
you asked the question. Chad, you first.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say. Obviously, you can't have complete candidate control as much as everyone thinks they can. But at the same time, you know, throughout the entire process, you want them to be honest with you, and you ask them, you know, how far are you in other interviewing processes? Are you close to offers? And I understand completely the candidate can lie to you, but that comes with creating that relationship. So,
well, so let's ask Jackie why he screwed up. Why did that happen to you?
Yeah.
Chad says it's a bad mark on your abilities.
You
Would
know,
you agree?
Honestly, on with that particular thing that I was talking about that I have in mind right now, I'm not sure what else I could have done. I asked him if he had other interviews. I talked to him. I thought we had built a rapport, and, like, he was at the place where I couldn't really blame him. He said, oh, well, I interviewed for that role a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't think they were going to get back to me. They just got back to me this morning and said they wanted to hire me. They want to bring me on.
Yeah, man, it happens.
So,
it happens.
And the guy was kind of – I mean, the guy had not been working for a while. He was a little bit desperate. I could tell he was desperate. And so he's not – he wasn't especially forthcoming to me, and I can understand why.
Yeah, that's cool.
Okay, Darrow Disco said – Jackie, you had me till you said you want to build a community. Come on, that ain't happening. It's not a social media community he wants to build. He wants to be in a company and hire the right people so that he can
That's
see the,
my own
the corporate community.
When
so,
I first got a recruit
so how
job,
many recs can you juggle at once? That's another question I would have. How many positions can you effectively recruit for on the inside at one time?
You know, I've never really had to focus on more than one position at a time. I mean, the way that things have been structured, could I work on several ones? I could probably work on several ones, but I've never, in my experience, I've only had to usually just, I was given one rec and you focus on this one. I'm open to the other recs, and so if I have other recs that are open, then there's people I'm thinking of, just because when I go to different places and I go to different, when I meet different people, I know what recs we have open, and then when somebody tells me that, oh, I'm this or I'm that, then it's like, oh, hey, I've got something like this.
Let me boil that down for you, everybody. One.
Yeah.
Yeah, one, basically.
Yeah.
I focus on
but
one.
These
I focus
guys
on
in corporations,
one.
They get like 30 or 20. Or they have
30, yeah, he's
right?
Got, yeah. But in an agency, you're normally
50.
Working on just one at a time.
I agree.
You don't have 30 recs. No agencies do that.
Uh-huh. By the way,
so keep
Jerry,
it in perspective,
McClure,
Amy. HR.
Jennifer McClure says that her upcoming autobiography
yeah.
will credit 100% of her success to being on the Recruiting Animals show. Okay?
Nice.
Thank you. Thank you for your honesty, dear. And Karen Sewak, the famous resume strategy, she liked it that you said you're building with a community, building a community. She
but
says,
that was
that
was a misquote. He meant company.
I'm building a company, I'm building a community in the same way that I'll tell you, when I first got a job as a recruiter, I was interested because I saw myself as a job fairy. You are a fairy that works, that goes around just handing jobs out to people. I thought that was cool.
I'd downplay that a little.
Yeah, it was.
I've learned a lot since
not that
then.
There's nothing wrong with that, okay? It's cool.
I don't know if I'd go around saying
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, it's diverse, I guess. Okay, listen. What about this? I know Jerry and I have argued about this before, but I saw it in an article today about salespeople. A salesperson should be a fighter, this guy says. He's the boss at Yodel, some kind of company. A salesperson should be a fighter, someone who is politely persistent, who doesn't take no for an answer. Jerry's always told me that is not a good salesperson, someone who doesn't take no for an answer. But another guy in the same article said the best salespeople grab the leg and don't let go. And I saw Chad Balbi favorited that on Twitter, so I know I got a vote from him there. And what do you think about that, Jackie Chan?
Junior? So I think when somebody tells you no, it's not really a no; it's more of a not yet, not yet, not right
that's
now.
How you got married?
Huh?
Okay.
And so you just revisit it a little bit longer. I mean, you just wait a little bit longer. And you
is there anything else with Jerry? You know, I'm kind of figuring maybe I'll end the show a little early.
Yeah, I'm ready for it. I can handle it.
Okay, my last question. So go ahead. Somebody's asking Jackie a question. Go ahead.
I just have to wonder, Jackie, did you learn that no means not yet at Tech Systems?
No, I would say I learned that through dating. Just personal life.
That's, you know what? Yeah. That could get you in trouble, okay? My last question is, why do some recruiters list a religion as the first thing on their Twitter bios? I can never figure that out, and I saw it again this morning.
Mention what?
Their religion. It's the first thing they put on their Twitter bio. I don't get it.
That's important to them. Back off, man.
Okay. Okay, gosh. Jackie Chan, now you can just listen. You can't talk.
See you,
Jackie. We're going to judge you on the Recruiting Animal, Recruiting Now.
See you, Jackie.
Thank you so much, guys. Thanks, everyone.
The Recruiting.
Uh-oh.
What? You sexy thing. How's it going, everybody? Amy,
good.
Is it just you and me? No, and Chad?
It might be. I don't know. Where'd everybody go?
You, me, Chad. Who else is here? Anybody? Just the three of us. Wow. It's kind of sad. Are
this
we
will
just
be short
losing?
And sweet.
I think we're losing our market share. There's been times
up.
When there's like 10 or 12 people on the call. Huh. Oh, well. Busy week. You know, I just got an email from my customer. They're looking for like a really hard-to-find person to go full-time at their company. And I would say this particular position has just been beat to hell now for months. So their cap on fees is 20%, right? So it's already one of those, okay, we'll do it, but we have plenty of full-fee companies, and we're busy anyway. Well, now they've decided that to increase their chance of hiring somebody, they will increase the base from $95,000 to $110,000, which is cool. They can offer a one-time signing bonus of $25,000.
Wow.
Also, if someone's a renter, they'll pay $15,000 sign-on bonus for that, or $25,000 if they're a homeowner. Yet they still won't increase the fee. They still won't help agencies make this a priority to knock this thing out. Not that there's a huge difference, but it's. I'm just thinking this. I just got this email like 2 minutes ago. Isn't that interesting?
Well, do they realize they're kind of putting the cart before the horse there? You know, I don't know about that.
What do you mean?
Well, it's all good and well to offer that to a candidate. It makes the position more attractive. But if the recruiting agency, if it's not attractive to them to fill it, you know, they're not
right.
going to have the candidates to attract. You know, it's kind of, you know, which game is the chicken or the egg type analogy, I guess.
Yeah, they really ought to just they ought to offer that kind of cash money to the agency.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean,
say,
so,
hey,
no good.
We'll give you $40,000 plus your fee.
Yeah.
And I can guarantee you that thing would be filled, and you wouldn't have to give the sign-on bonus to the guy because we'd find somebody that we could that would move there on their own.
I agree completely.
Interesting.
Yep, me too.
Oh, well, I've got other stuff to, you know, that's like number 15 on my list of stuff I wish I could have input on, but I probably don't. You know what I mean? But they're cool. I mean, we have contractors working there and stuff, so I mean, it's a good company. I'd like to help them, but can't do it all. Jackie Chan, I thought he was an all right guy. I mean, he's been through, you know, the first phase of this whole career path, which is. Are you scared of rejection? How do you feel when somebody says no? I thought the guy's all right. I'd hire him.
Yeah, I liked him. Like I said, when I you know, when he was talking about being in the community as far as blogging goes and joining those groups, I think that shows a little more extra initiative as far as your, you know, the seriousness you have of your career. So
mm-hmm.
I think those things really stand out.
Kind of surprised though, he's. Doesn't seem like he's coming close to finding a new job, and he's been looking now for months, I think. And HR, talent, recruiting, on-site, staffing, all that, it's a pretty easy time to get a job in recruiting, isn't it? I mean, I don't know. I haven't looked for a job in 20 years.
We didn't get into this, but I wonder if he's got some unreasonable salary expectations or he's afraid of commission. Or there's got to be more to the story that we didn't get. Because you're right, Jerry. He could go work for any full-desk agency on commission and have a job. And if he's good, he'll make money. So I just wonder if there's some financial thing.
No, I think he just wants to work inside a company. And, you know, maybe I would... Those are further apart, I would think, the jobs rather than, you know, any agency will hire anybody. I mean, they'll roll the dice on just about anybody, especially somebody that's actually made a placement. Right? I mean, if you've made a couple placements, you know, I'll spend $4,000, see what you can do. And if, you know, several months into it, nothing's going on, well, then it's over. I mean, that's just what agencies do.
I think that's what he should do. I understand that he wants to be corporate, but he's handled, you know, one position at a time mm-hmm. with a buffer of an account manager in between him and the client, even if he initially brought the client through his networking. I think he needs – this is just me personally. I think he needs a little bit more time in the trenches before he can come to corporate, in my opinion.
How about – why don't you just try to get him into Microsoft?
Yeah, see?
Would you? Come on.
Well, didn't you say?
I mean,
you
my team is hiring. I just don't.
All right.
I'm not sold. He'd have to pitch me a little better
open.
Than what we heard on the show today. But I'm
open.
AmyAlla@Microsoft.com. Send me your resume.
Hold on. Somebody else is talking? That wasn't you, was it, Chad?
No.
Who else is there?
Area code 310. I just opened it for you.
310? Where
yeah.
is that? Area code 310. Who knows about that one? Anybody? Is that California? Let me see.
Now, didn't you say he hadn't been recruiting for a while?
Yeah, it looks like he hadn't been recruiting for like four or five years. But
so,
I don't
mean,
know. Animal did a bad job of getting kind of a synopsis of who he is, where he's been on his page.
Did that, I mean, that very well may be an issue there. Somebody wants to see relevant experience.
Yeah, that could be. If he was anywhere around me and he'd want to take a shot at getting back into agency recruiting, I'd hook him up.
Oh, yeah, I think you know, like you said, any agency is going to take a gamble on him, anyone really with recruiting experience, especially coming from Tech Systems. I used to work for Aerotech, and they were under the same umbrella. I mean, that gets looked highly, I don't know about your guys' area, but that's usually looked highly on this area as far as having that experience. I mean, you know, I think he could get into an agency again, but I think Amy's right. I don't know if he has the experience necessarily where somebody's going to be willing to take a chance on him in the corporate world.
Isn't it interesting that you don't see any recruiters from Tech Systems or Robert Half? I see none of these people out in this whole social media world, Twitter, Facebook. And I don't see anybody from there in our community online. Do you guys? Or is it just me?
Honestly,
not really.
The Aerotechs of the world and the Robert Half of the world, they don't really value that as much because I think they're looking for quicker results.
And I agree with that. I mean, actually, it's one of the few companies that said, hey, no, that is a crock. It's a waste of your time. And for the most part, it is. Like, if I worked for somebody else, I wouldn't dare demand that they let me hang out on Facebook all day. I'd fire myself.
I look at social media as not a recruiting avenue. Yeah, I mean, it's good to get yourself out there. But I look at it as more of a brand. So when you approach somebody about a job, half of it is how reliable are you as a recruiter? Because let's face it, we're all working on the same jobs out there. Yeah, we do have exclusives, but for the most part, we're working on the same job. So it's not about the job you're working on. It's about the recruiter you're working with. So I look at my social media presence as just I want to show people that I have a head on my shoulders and I know what I'm talking about versus looking for people and finding candidates.
Yeah, I'm with you. Well, hey, let's knock out a few scores here real quick because I'm got my calls are stacking up here on me. Amy, what do you think? Let's get it.
You know, I liked the kid. I did. And I was really, really rough with him on the role play, and I almost feel bad, which is an unusual thing for me. So
hey,
I'm going to give him – I was kind of mean. But I'm going to give him a 74. I like that he – was brave enough to come on. He did push back a little bit, which was surprising because he was kind of soft-spoken, and I didn't expect that. So I was very, very happy to see that. I think that he really needs to find a full-desk agency role. He needs to juggle 10, 15, 20 open recs and make that work, and then he can look at corporate. I just don't think he's got the hustle that he would need to be a good corporate recruiter. There is a distinction. He wants to be a good corporate recruiter. He needs to go and get some hustle first in agency.
Okay.
I'm going to give Animal 35 because I hate it when he cuts the show short. Drives me crazy.
All right. Okay.
He did that to me once. I'm still scarred.
Gotcha. Wow. That hurts. Chad.
I hate redundancy, but Amy pretty much said exactly what I was going to comment on as well. As far as like score goes, I feel he's right in that 75 range for the very exact same reason. He, as I said when I got on, you know, he was very timid in the way he talked, which can unfortunately hurt you in this industry. I mean, you want to speak with a sense of, you know, like you know what you're doing. But I was extremely surprised when he was pushed on that he was able to push back the way he did. So that was really good to see. And I think, you know, like you said, I think any agency recruiting job would be really good for him, and I don't think that would be a problem at all. So 75 to him, and then Animal, I'd probably give like a 60. I've never heard a show get cut that short before, so I was really surprised by that as well. And that's about it.
All right. All right, guys, I got to roll.
All right, same here.
Yeah, man, have a great week. Talk to you next week, everybody.
See ya. Bye.
Tomorrow, I don't want to die. But sometimes we should never been born at all. Carry on. if nothing really matters.